We welcome you to Finland Mennonite Church. Plans have changed a little bit this morning. Pastor Chris got the flu on Saturday. He's been in bed for the last 36 hours. So we went with Plan B, and Plan B was to invite one of our ministry partners, mission partners, Scott Roth, who is working full-time with Young Life, has come to bring the message. But I heard a story one time about a pastor who was called to be a substitute, filling in for a pastor who got sick. And when he got up to speak, he said, let me tell you what a substitute is. You know, you break a window in your house and you put a piece of cardboard in place of that window, and that's a substitute. He proceeded to preach his message. And when he was finished, he went to the back and the people were coming out, and one of the members of the church came to him, and she turned to him and said, "Oh, pastor, you were no substitute. You were a real pain." Now, if you know anything about Scott, you know that Scott will bring a message that God has placed in his heart for us today. And in some ways, it may be a little painful, but I believe it's going to build us up. Scott is working full-time with Young Life, and this, what I love about Scott is his heart and his desire to see the young people of this valley come to know Jesus. That's his heart. And now God has released him to do that full time, and we're helping to support him through our offerings that came in January. We're sending our support on to Scott. So Scott, would you come? I want to pray for you and ask God to speak through you to us now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that things don't happen by chance in our life. And so we, first of all, want to pray for Pastor Chris. We ask for your healing for him. We love him as a brother. We thank him. Thank you for the gifts you've given him to pastor and lead us as a shepherd, teacher. But would you heal him in Jesus' name right now? Thank you for bringing Scott to bring your word to us. And now I pray your anointing of your Holy Spirit upon him. Lord, release that word for us today through Scott and through your word, that we might become more like Jesus as your people. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jerry. No, it's interesting because I spoke here before when John East had gotten sick. And I got to talk on grace. And I remember that was very profound for me because of the stuff I was going through at the time. And now I get to talk about your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And it's intense for me because that's my wheelhouse. Like, that's what I love. Like when I was yesterday, I emceed for a robotics tournament, and I don't know if you know this, but Upper Perk has the largest robotics team in Pennsylvania. And it started right out of the community center building, the old Peace Mennonite Church. So that's a ministry that you all helped start. And it's wild to emcee this, and I get this text from Chris. And emceeing for me is very tiring. Like when I'm done. Like, I went to bed very early last night. I get this text from Chris, and it's like, "Hey, man, I'm sick. Can you preach tomorrow?" I'm like, "Seriously?" But the good thing about this is that God is good. And then I had this whole idea of where we were going to go this morning with this text. And all these songs started going, and the theme is freedom. And it really made me want to kind of change up what I was going to say. As we started praying, it started really hitting me a little. So I want to ask you this question. And this is something that hit me when we were praying earlier. So God knew that Chris was going to get sick. And God knew that I didn't have anything else going on this morning. Now, that's a little messed up when you think about it, right? Because, see, there's two sides to this coin, and maybe three, really. One side says free will always rolls and God just deals with us as we are, right? So if that's the case, then Chris could have been sick or not sick, right? And either way, God deals with it. Either I'm going to be freed up this morning or not freed up, right? So there's that whole piece. Then there's the other piece that says God ordained it and it was going to happen this way, irregardless of what you think. Now, see, that scares me too because that means God wanted Chris to be sick. That's hard to handle too, right? Like, I mean, so I like to roll the middle ground. I'll let you know that. And this is what I'm coming with this morning, is that God is the ultimate chess master. He knows all the potential moves available to us. So he knew that if Chris was going to stay sick, he could handle it. He also knew that he wasn't going to heal him, because he knew that there was a good course of action that could happen. So God knows all the possibilities and is able to work through everything. At least that's how my little human brain could at least wrap my head around this. So this morning, I want to engage on this topic, because if you remember, who was here in October when you guys had your camping weekend and I preached? Who was here that Sunday? A couple of you? All right, so I want to update those of you that were here. I'll give you an update for those of you that weren't. Too bad, you missed it. So there were two things that happened majorly in my life, three things that happened majorly in my life. One was that I had chosen to step out of the pastorate and go full-time into Young Life, and that meant we had to raise some funds. So I'm here to report to you that 41% funded for the year right now, and I needed to be 25% funded so they would at least start paying me full-time, and we started funding just in November. So within a month and a half, $41,000 came in via cash or with pledges. So that's a praise, right? That's amazing. So I'm totally excited about that. The second thing that happened is I'm 40 pounds down. Some of you know I started a weight loss initiative, so I'm 40 pounds down. So I'm on my way to lose my junior hire. I'm shooting for 100 pounds. So 40 pounds, I got rid of an elementary school kid. So that's pretty wild to me. And finally, my biological parents had reached out to me. I was crazy. So I've been working through that. I have not yet talked to them, like met them or anything, but that's something else. You can keep that in prayer. Because Finland, you're like my other church. Like, I know a lot of you in town. I see you a lot. So keep that in your prayer. So when we go to this concept of being free in God, and when we look at the Lord's Prayer, I want to read the Lord's Prayer to you, because I think sometimes we miss what Jesus is doing here. He says, this is then how you should pray. And I'm reading out of Matthew 6, 9 to 13. I'm not sure what it said in the bulletin. That's where I went for the Lord's Prayer. So, we're good? Okay. So this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I'm going to focus on your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But I really need to just highlight this whole prayer, because you got to remember something. Jesus is saying this, don't be like the hypocrites in the synagogue. Like, if you read before this, he's kind of outlined like why we're going to pray like this. And if you look through Scripture, there's so many times that God is saying, look, when you pray, make it for real. And live into your prayer. So if you're going to pray, don't be like, Lord, let there be peace on earth. And then you go out and start conflict the next day. Right? I mean, we do it though. We want God to be Santa Claus. I say this a lot in church, because I believe that we want God to come down with his big old sack of presents and make everything better. And we sit back on the lazy boy and watch the nighttime news. And recap what God did. And we're like, woohoo, go, go, God. And we pray again that God does his thing. And then, woohoo, go, God. And we do nothing. But the reality is, in these verses, this is a powerful prayer. First of all, I want you to think about this prayer. It is not an individual prayer, is it? Look at your scripture right now. Look at it. When you read it, you're looking at our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You would be surprised, maybe you're not because you know yourself, how many people don't pray with others. You'd be amazed at churches that don't even know how to pray together. Maybe you ain't, because I don't know how many of you show up for prayer time before church. I'm guilty. I don't some Sundays. So think about it, right? This God is saying right off the bat, Jesus incarnate is saying we need to be praying together. He also says, oh, you got to pray by yourself too. So it's a personal and it's a corporate thing. So if we talk about heaven, all right, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. This is an invasion text. I need you to think about that. This is not God, your kingdom in my church only. No. This is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let's get a picture of heaven for a moment. If you want, you can turn to me to Luke 15, 1 and 2. If not, just listen. I don't know how fast you are at flipping or typing in or however you get to your scripture. But in Luke 15, I want you to hear what heaven is going to be like. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So who's going to be in heaven? Come on, who's going to be in heaven? Sinners! Think about it. Like, we always want to think that it's always the good people. Newsflash. You ain't good. We heard the songs this morning, freedom. Like, you think about that. Like, sometimes we forget what it means. You have the Holy Spirit. When you receive Christ, when you say, God, I'm in, there's this void in your spirit and your soul that gets filled up with God. For those of you that can remember those days when you didn't have that void being filled, for others of you, you might have grown up that God's always been around. And depending on how you've gotten into God and understanding who Jesus is, but there's a piece of you that you know, all of us know, that when you step outside of God's space, it feels funky. It might be a little nudge on you. It might be severe pain that you cry. We know what that's like. See, I'm saying this to you because, see, when we hear about his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we have to start looking at this verse and start wondering, what does this really mean to us? Because, see, here it is, folks. You ready? How did heaven come down to earth? I'll give you his hint. It starts with a J. Jesus, right? Now, if you are a disciple of Jesus, what does that mean for you? Who are you then? Anyone want to take a stab at it? A reflection of Jesus, right? His presence here on earth. You are heaven on earth. Boom. Yes. Right? I mean, think about that. Process that for a moment, please. I don't like it. I want you to be present. Like, you sing, by the way, I love how you sing. You sing very differently than I'm used to in a church. I have to call you out on it because it's beautiful. You do this whole hand thing because you don't have the guitar, and that is really cool. Like, I'm just telling you, like, I watched it. I was like, yeah, like, I'm with it. I'm getting it. So just, I'm complimenting you in front of everybody because that was cool. But when you think about this, right, imagine if you're the only representation of Jesus for someone in their life. So how'd you do as an ambassador to the kingdom of God? I've been there. I don't want to see you. But see, this is the reality. This is the beauty of grace, right? This is why the tax collectors and sinners get to eat at the table. So I think sometimes when we think about this, if we can take hold of the fact that if Jesus dwells in us, then we are a walking representation of the kingdom here on earth, now all of a sudden that changes my day. Think about it. Like, I'm at this point now at 43, I know for some of you are thinking, man, he's young. Other people are thinking, wow, he's old. Like, all right, it all depends on where you're at. And I get that. Either way, I'm going downhill, you know. But if we think about this for a moment, right, I started to ponder my space this morning. I was driving over here because it cracks me up. Like, if I started thinking about how many times I've talked here at Finland and how many different things I've told you about that I got involved in, right? Right? Like, it's really funny, like, how God keeps moving. And we at Young Life, we have some adult volunteers that spend time with kids all week long. We go out in the community. We sit in ball games. We put ourselves out in the spaces where teenagers are so that we don't look creepy when they get to meet us. I mean, think about it. That's what it's all about, right? Because if kids come to a club time, they want to hang out with us. If they've seen us a lot in their life, they've seen us hanging out with their friends, it's not creepy to them. We're just part of the gang. So I asked them, where's Young Life going to be in the Upper Perk Valley in 3 years? Right? And they all just kind of sat there, and they looked at me a little bit. And I said, no, think about it. Where were you 3 years ago? And it was fun to hear these leaders talk because some of us, we didn't know each other 3 years ago. And it was interesting. Two of them, they were still in high school. Like, for them to think, oh, yeah, would I even picture myself here doing Young Life 3 years later, right? And it was fun to start talking like that. But then, Finland, look at yourselves 3 years ago. Just, I'm curious, how many of you were attending this church 3 years ago? Raise your hand. Okay, so not every hand went up. Cool. How many of you were sitting here 6 years ago? Raise your hand. All right, hands get a little less. 9 years ago? When was this building built? I'm trying to remember. 10 years ago. All right, so think about that, right? 15 years ago, none of you were sitting in this room. So we think about this time progression, right? If you think about time, you think about how things move, and now think about yourself. And where's your personal space? Where did God have you 3 years ago? Where are you going to be in 3 years from now? And see, I'm asking this because, see, when Christ said this prayer, he had this amazing ability to know where you were going to be when you read this scripture or heard this sermon this morning. Think about that. He knew that this morning was the right time for you and I to have an engagement together. Or maybe you walk out of here and say, thank you, Jesus. Or maybe you're like, I never want to hear that guy again. I don't know how it'll be. I don't care because it doesn't matter because Chris invited me, so you stuck with me, right? But think about that for a moment, right? And see, I'm saying this to you because when you see these scriptures, when you read about this prayer, when you start to engage this topic of kingdom on earth that is in heaven, you have to start asking the question, what does that mean for you and your space? What does it mean for your family? Like, I'm not telling you to be like me. I'm just sharing you my story because it's just easier. Because that's what I know, right? I know the world based on Scott Roth. So all I know, for me at least, is that every time I've stepped out, I've had to stand on the water, I get scared by the waves, and sometimes I sink, but every time Jesus is still there grabbing me. See, I'm saying this to you because there are times that I didn't step out of the boat in my life, and I regret it. There's people who have died in my space that I wish I would have spent more time with them. And now, it's funny because, like, if you were to tell me at 43 I'm still a youth worker and that's all I want to do is hang out with teenagers, I wouldn't have believed you. I thought it would have progressed by now. But I still think it's fun to take some ice cream and eat it as fast as I can with the kid next to me at Dairy Queen to see who gets the brain freeze last. Like, I'm wired a certain way. Like, I still wear T-shirts and jeans, and you guys are okay with me. You know, like, think about it, right? So God made me this way, and I have to deal with this because sometimes I don't fit in certain spaces. Like, I feel awkward when I'm sitting with a bunch of other pastors in traditional churches. Like, we're cool, but, like, some of these churches, I'm going, man, you are not reaching the kingdom of God, reaching out for the kingdom of God. I don't see it. Like, where is that? I mean, you as a church, you said go gather, go nurture, and make disciples. So here's what I want you to tell you this morning, this is the thing that I want you to take home. Everything I said this morning, this is what I really feel that God is impressing upon you. You are free to go be me. You are free to go be me. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to be free to go be Jesus. You do not have to have a theological seminary degree. I don't. You do not have to have a degree at anything. You do not have to be trained up officially at anything. All you need to do is take your story and go walk. Amen. Think about it. Like, I really want to say this, and I'm not, it's no disrespect to anybody rude, but I need you to hear this. If this building blew up today, would you still gather as the church? If you did not have this property and it was all gone, would you still hang out with each other? See, some of you say, well, yeah, of course. Duh! All right, well, guess what? That's how I feel about being Jesus in the world. It's a no-brainer. But for some of you, you're too scared. Notice that this is how it starts out. Matter of fact, where is Peter supposed to build his church, build God's church? Where does he say? Where does anybody know? Huh? On the rock. And where? What was the placement there, the geographic placement? Jesus says, Peter, go build my church where? No, more, think more bigger. H-E double hockey stick. Double hockey stick. Right, at the gates of hell, right? Gates of hell. Gates is not an aggressive stance, right? It is a defensive stance. Think about that. Go be at the gates of hell. It's also the gates of hell is that last stop, right? Before hell. So it's not like, go build it up on a mountaintop way far away from hell. No, the church is supposed to be right there at the edge. How many of you live life on the edge with people? And I don't mean like crazy stuff, but I'm like, are you there in their space at the time of despair? So here's where everything's at, and this is how I'll close for you. Our community in Upper Perk Valley is wrestling with drug addiction. I know, shocking, right? It's all over the place. Opioid addiction is everywhere. I am stunned and in dismay and despair at what I see. I've got my own stories of friends and family and the nastiness of drugs. But Wednesday night, Upper Perk High School had a gentleman, well, they had a gentleman speak during the day named Ron James. This guy went through drug issues, drug dealer, all this stuff from the Philadelphia area, came to know the Lord while in prison. Powerful testimony. He speaks on making good choices. So this guy speaks Wednesday during school. They have him at night with a movie. Project Live, our anti-drug task force group, sponsored this whole thing. Here's what's wild. They played the movie of his life, right? This guy made a movie. Jesus is all throughout it. I mean, it's so public, but they can't do nothing about it because it's the guy's story, right? There's like 60, 70 kids in the audience that came out to see this, that they were touched. And I went with a student. We just sat there. And it was so wild to like hear people talk and all this stuff. And afterwards, and just seeing how many people wanted to hear and to make a difference. And then afterwards, the student that I took with me, I asked 8 kids to go with me. One said yes, which I get it. You know, hey, do you really want to hang out with me going back to your school? But it was cool. This one guy went. As we were driving out, I was kind of crying a little bit. I was messed up. I was thinking about people in my past and just different things. And we started talking. He goes, yeah, this is why I can't believe in God, man. And I'm like, why? He goes, you know how I feel about God. I'm like, no, actually, I don't. We never talked about it. I hung out with a kid for about a year and a half now. So we're driving over to Dairy Queen because that's where I go to hang out with kids, Dairy Queen. Like, if you ever want to be cool with a teenager, take them to Dairy Queen. Nobody ever complains about Dairy Queen. Ever. You might have to pay, though, because they usually don't have money on them. But anyway. So we're there at Dairy Queen, and I was like, so what's your deal with God? He goes, oh, all the despair, all the disgusting things as well. I don't understand why he made man. I'm like, oh, dude, you're talking about man. You're not talking about God. And we started to have this hour and a half long conversation in DQ about the nastiness of man and how God's given us every power and ability to do good, but we consistently choose not to. Church, God has given you the ability to do amazing things. It's your choice to do it or not. It's your choice to have your neighbors over for dinner. It's your choice to to spend lunches with a coworker that you know needs a friend. It's your choice to go into the lunchroom and sit with those kids that nobody else wants to sit with. It's your choice to pray for your local leaders that you despise their politics and ask them if they want to go for coffee and just let them know that you're praying for them before God. See, I'm saying this to you because it is really easy to hang out with the church folk. It is really easy to figure out how to get to know Janie because you really like the cookies that she made for fellowship meal. Like, that's easy. But if you remember who was sitting at the table, it was the sinners and the tax collectors. So church, as God would say to you, go be free to be me. You, Finland Church, have an amazing opportunity to do amazing things. But it's your choice whether to take it. Let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you for this morning and this chance to be here together. God, in the Lord's Prayer, you tell us to pray to you for our provision, for the things we need, this scripture, Lord, that you give us on how to pray. This prescription is profound. So, Lord, this morning, help us to be your kingdom here on earth this week. Lord, help us to be just a taste of Jesus for somebody to say, what is it that you have and why do you act that way? Why do you care for me so much? Lord, I ask for inquisitive people around us that force us to talk about our faith. Lord, I ask that questions happen so that we are stuck having to answer it. Lord, put us in places that we can't say no. That we know that if we say no, Lord, we know that we will defy you in such ways that we don't want to be that space. So, Lord, we give this to you in your awesome, holy name. Amen.